Hi, welcome to another Woke Salaryman React to Something thing. So this is a thing that I will show Riming. This is something that I found online. I watched like, the first 10 seconds, then immediately I stopped and like, okay, shit. I think we gotta talk.
Okay,
talk
so you watched the whole thing already?
No, I only saw like the first 10 to 20 seconds and I had a feeling, so this might not make it, but if you've seen it, it led to an interesting conversation. Yeah, so sure. Let's try to watch
it
together.
Okay, let's watch it.
What are the music?
And here's a look around. I saw that very often competent people, the competent individual, was promoted to something he couldn't do. I saw a competent mechanic where I used to take my car. He was terrific. He was very responsible, very precise, knew exactly what he was doing, so they made him foreman. Now he's no longer fixing cars and he's trying to manage the other mechanics. And he's very incompetent, doesn't do this well. He's really a competent mechanic and an incompetent foreman.
Oh, the music, I can't.
I saw competent engineers getting promoted to supervisory positions. They were great at dealing with things.
You must pause then react.
I don't people complain.
If not, that fucker will leave that comment.
But I see that was okay because I waited for there to be a pause and then I commented on
the people. Okay.
But yes, thank
you. Incompetent at dealing with people. And over again, I saw this phenomenon, and I called it the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle states very simply that in any hierarchy, an employee tends to rise to his level of incompetence, and that's where he stays. And one of the biggest problems in the United States, the problem that most psychiatrists are dealing with today, is a problem called the identity crisis, where people have lost themselves in the hierarchy. They've done what they've been told. They're following the rules. They're being promoted. And then all of a sudden they find themselves wondering, what am I? Who am I? Where am I? But mainly, who am I? And they're lost in the process of being promoted and trying to conform to what the hierarchy expects. They've lost their own identity. This is a major problem.
Oh my goodness.
I think I'd like to make it clear that I'm not saying people shouldn't accept promotions. Some people should. Some people enjoy power, enjoy authority, enjoy responsibility. And others find it a burden. Drags them down. It makes them feel that they're responsible for more than they should be. Any boss, manager, or chief executive who spends a lot of time reminiscing about the good old days, complaining about the quality of his employees, complaining that the competition is too strong and so on, is not really enjoying the challenge of that job.
Do you find that to be true? That any manager who's complaining about it, it could just be I'm saying things, right? It doesn't mean I don't enjoy it.
I mean, it's like a generalization.
Yeah, maybe I enjoy the pay also.
You know this guy called Simon Sinek?
Yes.
He gives me Simon Sinek vibe.
A bit, yeah.
And while Simon Sinek does make some good points, sometimes he overgeneralizes. But I mean, everyone does it.
Yeah.
Should we go throughout life being conditioned to keep on accepting that next reward, to keep on running like a squirrel in a cage, to keep on striving for that carrot on the stick? Or should we use our ability to be rational and think about, where am I going? What is the purpose of my life? Is reward through promotion the reward for me? Or are there other rewards through other aspects of living? This is the question. I can't answer for you. I try to answer it for myself. Each individual can use his ability, his rational ability,
or her,
to analyze a situation.
All day, them.
This is where the Peter Principle, written as humor, as satire, to help people laugh at the problem, can actually help people make some of these very important decisions in their own lives.
If I had epilepsy, I would have died.
So that was the clip. Because it was interesting because it related to me about like the idea of, and you hear this a lot, especially like when you are below somebody you don't like. Like, walao, this person above me, don't know what they're doing. Like, they're just incompetent. I can't believe they got the job. They got it through probably bootlicking or whatever, you know. So this idea, I like the fact that he said that it was written as satire. I don't really know the origin of this thing, you know. But do you agree that this basic idea of like people being promoted to their levels of incompetence? So it's like, I go up until I suck at it, then I'll just not climb anymore.
Yeah.
And then that's it, you know.
I think there's a lot of truth in the Peter principle. And it does make sense. Many times especially the example we give about the mechanic.
Yeah.
I mean, I have seen people like that.
Yeah.
And I think like I have been an incompetent leader before.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Because I was promoted too fast. Right. So I think that is definitely true. The other observation that he also made is that like many people are miserable in large organizations. I think that's also true because in large organizations the hierarchy is very big. Very thick, right? The stack.
Yep.
So I think what makes people lost in the hierarchy is that in smaller organizations, the hierarchy, the message one goes straight down.
Straight, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But because it is a large organization, there's actually a lot of misaligned motivations from top management to the person at the top.
Yep.
Right. Top management, maybe, they want to increase profitability, blah, blah, blah. Right. This layer of people, maybe they just want to coast for 3 years. This layer of people, maybe they just want to impress someone, you know, I want to be here for the rest of my life. Below that, you have another one. Maybe jealous, this manager jealous of this other manager.
Or play power.
This department jealous of that department.
Yeah.
So they end up doing like things that don't make any sense to the people below.
Yeah.
I think very often you'll be like, huh, if our organization is supposed to do this, then why are we doing that?
Yeah.
But it's because like there are so many people's intentions in between that make it like very dense and complicated.
It's like those water filter, then the management, the CEO pour the water from the top. Then by the time I get down, it's like the chemical component completely changed already.
Yeah.
Then at the bottom you go down, hey, wait, this is not what I asked for.
Yeah.
Why is it like that? Because there are a lot of other filters in the middle that color it a different way.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think and that is why people often become very disillusioned with places with a lot of like hierarchical structure. But also I think it's important to realize that hierarchical structure often to work right they because I get from the video like the guy is he called Peter?
No. Let's call him Peter.
Yeah, let's call him Peter. I think Peter was trying to advocate like, oh, there should be fewer hierarchy. I got a sense he was like not so pro hierarchy. But sometimes I also understand like hierarchy is very important when you want to do large tasks. You have to standardize everything.
Because at scale, how is Mark Zuckerberg, for example, or Jeff Bezos going to be so close to the ground and monitor so many things at one go unless he has hierarchy so he trusts some people, then those some people got other some people, and then that becomes a huge organization.
I think not just like the big billionaires you said. I mean, could even be like a factory manager.
Yeah. A factory manager. He can't see everything himself.
Yeah, and they need like everyone to come in at the same time, at the same shift, to do the same thing.
So you need layers of supervision that scale.
And it requires like a level of uniformity.
Yep.
Yeah, so I mean, for example, for our company, if our employees want benefit, we just give.
We have to give the same one.
For ours we can give like customized one, right?
Because we have we have a few people that we can customize.
Yeah.
But if it's like a 50-100, no way we can.
Exactly, like we can go to like, hey, you know, okay, what do you want to do in life? Like what do you treasure?
Yeah. How do we do that for 100 people? Yeah. Right.
2 people are very easy.
Like
500 people, 1,000 people.
Unless we, for example, like you say, have hierarchies, you know, that triangle thing
Yeah.
where then it breaks down to the point where it's like one person is looking after 10 people. Then that one manager can customize for that 10.
Yeah, but even then, not to the level that a small company can do.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So hierarchy sometimes is necessary.
People
getting That's lost in it might be unfortunate.
Or they're unsuitable for that kind of company. Yeah, yeah, right?
Might be an unfortunate side effect of the whole thing. So before you join big company, especially those that have a lot of layers, I think it's important to consider.
Yeah, yeah. What I sort of got from that also is that the idea of incompetence, and this, of course, is a generalization, but everything we talk about here is going to be that. So I think let's just assume that, okay, everything we say here is not covering everything.
It's not
right?
about you.
It's not about you.
We did not write a video to like talk about you specifically. Yeah, yeah, no. Don't know the kind
just
of thing.
Some people, some cases, right?
Yeah.
So like the idea of incompetence also, I think, had to be very... there are a lot of gray areas in between because it could be perceived incompetence, but there could be other reasons why people are promoted above you that you don't see. Like, I feel like this sometimes can be a very populist thing to say because your boss might not be doing the same job as you are. For example, that mechanic case. It could be that a foreman needs different set of skills. So while a foreman might not be as good in terms of doing a mechanic job, they are better at handling people at scale, for example. That's why... Then on the other side of things also, you hear a lot of things, especially I think like because I play games, right? Game companies now have gotten so huge and they are very passionate people that make games. And then you have, for example, like in Blizzard, there's this guy called Bobby Kotick who actually played one of the baseball team owners in Moneyball. Like he was so, apparently, maybe he's a friend or something, that we need some kind of guy to portray a team owner who is very like, transactional and only like think about money and don't want to spend too much money, very gamsap that kind.
Yep.
Let's get a real executive. So that guy, Bobby Kotick, who actually was the CEO of Blizzard, played that role. So somebody like that, to a gamer or game developer or game maker that actually makes a thing, might go, voila, you get this kind of like
money grubber
person to run our corporation. Then you see like the game turn out like shit and the company is going to the ground. But honestly, a game maker, somebody who's on the ground making the models or supervising the animation as a whole, might not be suited for that role, and they'll hate it. You need this kind of people, a suit, to do this kind of job. So it's not really just a matter of incompetence. Maybe incompetence in your area, but maybe as you move up, more and more soft skills are needed. That's why, like, I think naturally a lot of times, like people who have business background, fly very well on the top of these hierarchical organizations, you know, because they're trained to do that. That degree is about that, about observing macro things and then boiling it down to execution or product level. How do I execute that? So, like, I think also as a creative ourselves, I feel like if you are disgruntled about this, one of the things that you could do actually, right, is to go and learn the strategy of how to do the soft skills things.
Be a suit.
Yeah. And that helps a lot because, like, that was one of the things that I really treasured when I was at one of my previous jobs where they sort of forced us creatives to go out on a sales call with the suit people and you don't have to say anything. Just sit there and listen. And the things that you pick up is freaking interesting and it'll help you to interface better with your suits and also maybe be like the first step of how you might go on that journey to learn this soft skill yourself and maybe climb that ladder.
Maybe you should clarify suit means account manager or someone with people.
It's an advertising term, right? Usually wears a suit. That's why I call it
last
suit.
Last time. In Mad Men, they will wear suit. You know Mad Men, very old advertising movie?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I experienced this in NS also, like strangely.
Huh.
I remember like the major who was in charge of my unit.
Okay.
He said like when you are a second lieutenant, which is the most junior officer, it's good if you are able to do all the things that the sergeants and the men are very good at.
Yep.
You can shoot very well.
Yes. You can run the march, all these things. Carry the feedback. Yep.
But that isn't your main duty. Your main duty is to plan attack plan, plan logistics. It is not to be a very good shooter. Although it is a bonus if you are. And the men will respect you a lot more.
Yes.
If you are a good shooter, you are physically fit. So it's definitely very important at, let's say, like the second lieutenant to captain level.
So mid level or low mid
junior,
level.
Junior, low mid level. No offense to captains. Yeah. But the higher you go, you say like this will become more and more challenging. Like, can you expect, like, let's say, a major or lieutenant colonel? I mean, the ranks are going up for people who do not know the ranks.
Yeah.
Like, to go run very fast, do a lot of chin-ups, where actually their main goal would be to be in charge of, like, thousands of people and doing operations planning for them. So it is unfair for, let's say, a rifleman to judge, like, the competence of
a major when it comes to doing pull-ups, is it?
Yeah, yeah. Or how well they can shoot their rifle.
Right, right.
Although they will respect you a lot more if you can do
it. If you can, yeah.
Yeah, but that is not the main thing you should do.
And also in army time, it might be that last time they were really good at it and that's how they rose up the ranks. But to even make it past that mid-level, you have to go and learn these soft skills and then spend your time honing these things.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, of course, maintaining a body is, it takes a lot of time. Yeah, and as you get older, it gets harder.
I think in a time where there was no machinery, everyone ride horses, wear armor.
Oh, yeah, it was very important, right?
Then,
yeah,
like, knights would be very...
Genghis Khan was probably a badass, I mean, physically, exactly. Right?
But then, like, as technology came in,
yeah,
it became a lot more about knowledge and managing things. So, the example where your, like, you feel like your superior is not as good as you as a certain thing.
Yeah.
Likely, maybe you have many legitimate reasons to feel this way.
Yeah.
But the task that they are hired to do is often very different.
Oftentimes, yes. I think oftentimes that's the case. Because I have fallen into a similar trap also of, like, judging my manager above me because they were not able to do the things that I was able to do as fast as I could do it or as well or as knowledgeable as I was.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's valid also, I think. Like, it is, to give due credit to this thing also. Like, oftentimes why people who are good at the thing are promoted because being good at the thing helps to be a better manager a lot of the times because you know how to call out bullshit, you know how to do it well, and oftentimes, for example, just a simple promotion from a doer of things to a manager of other people who do, it allows you to then leverage and multiply your expertise. Let's say I'm a mechanic, I'm a damn good one. If I become a manager of a mechanic and I do less, what that can do potentially for the business is that it multiplies my expertise 5 times and I teach 5 other people how to become future me's.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a good thing.
But the issue is that managing 5 people does not come naturally
to a lot of doers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the management, I mean, that's why there are, like, management trainee programs. There's management
school. Yes, yes.
So what often in the end happens, like, when the doer become manager, either they're like, ah, namai, I do myself.
Yeah, yes. Right.
Take on all the work.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then they do until they are, like, fucking
exhausted,
sick,
disgruntled.
Sick and tired. I don't do this.
Everything.
Then after that, they don't know how to delegate.
Yeah.
Either that or they micromanage people.
Yeah, it's because they're perfectionists.
Until, like, it's painful to work under them.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, I'm sure there are some other scenarios, but these are the main two I always hear about.
What was the other thing that you were telling me about before? Like, the idea of now, like, being more... There's this, like, management track, then there's another thing, right?
So, I mean, this video was created in the 50s.
Of course.
Yeah. So I think there was a time where the only way to climb up was to become a manager, take on leadership roles. And I think that still applies for many traditional companies today.
Yeah.
But nowadays, newer companies are, or should I say more progressive companies, are beginning to look into this different track called the individual contributor track. Or ICT. So this is when you are become. So this is like when you are very skilled in an area, but you don't want to manage people, or you are, it's not your interest, lah. So you might become like
a damn good super mechanic that only does the most like
the most specialized
shit,
thing,
right?
Yeah, maybe you can mentor people, you can teach people 1-on-1.
Yeah, but you're still doing.
Yeah,
a lot.
But you don't need to make like the task that a manager need to do, which often, number one, require a lot of soft skill and require a lot of like unpleasant decisions.
Yeah, compromises, negotiating with the top and the bottom and trying to find like a mutually agreeable point.
I think
that's very difficult.
Sometimes something like, oh, Wei Chun, don't get to go on leave today because we need you to rush this project.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we have created IC tracks for ourselves.
In a way, yeah. Because we do outsource, or not outsource, but we delegate. Actually, the boss role to
Viv.
Our colleague Viv,
yeah,
who we
she's
hired.
Great. Hi Viv.
And she's great. Yeah, hi Viv, if you're watching. She probably watched that. Yeah. So she's like a boss that we hired to tell us what to do. Then every day we're like, hey Viv, why am I doing this? So it's like we're taking orders from her like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we know we're not good at it, we don't do that, right?
Yeah. And also, in the past, without technology, it would be very hard to do what we do today.
What do you mean?
So, last time, maybe to put out like
a comic
that reached, I don't know, like 1 million people, right?
Yeah.
You need...
Oh, yes.
Maybe $1 million.
Typesetters, you need people to ink the thing, to write the thing, to lay out the text. You need people to publish it, to work with the publishing house, to print the thing, distribute the thing. That will necessarily create scale already. We'll need like a 50-man company maybe.
Yeah, you know? And even like the delivery people.
Yeah.
But I think now there's social media and technology.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to be an individual contributor rather than being a manager. Because we don't need to manage a lot of people.
Mm.
I think I will struggle managing, I think maybe even like 30 people.
Mm.
Right. I think my life experience has not brought me there yet. I think I will struggle as
a manager of people.
A manager of a lot of people.
A lot of people, yeah.
But if it's like a smaller team, I can probably handle that. So what we have done is that we have used technology to replace a lot of these would have been roles in the past. Instead of typesetter, then now we just deal with Facebook.
Everything is on, yeah.
Or instead of
distributor, then it's Facebook. Instead of typesetter, all this all this font stuff, it's one program. Everything is inside.
So there's never been a better time to be an IC. I feel
fair enough. Computer. Yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, it's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's about
how we just end here like that.
Yeah, thanks, Peter, for presenting this to us and letting us sort of talk about it. Yeah. On to the next one.
Okay.
Yeah. In case this is our last video, which we hope that it will not be, thanks very much for supporting us all along. It's been a great ride.
Actually, this is not our last video because we're going to record a podcast immediately after this
one. Yeah, but maybe I edit this one, right? First, I put this out, then we die somehow. Oh,
yeah.
We go Indonesia, Batam Cycle, then like... Goat runners over.
Okay. Yeah, I mean...
So it's always the possibility of mortality.
Goats
are
very dangerous.
Yeah, so we are very grateful for having been here. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Okay.